Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rose.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We're out here in beautiful Oakland, California, talking to artist, educator, phenom.
Ooh.
What does that mean? Lindsay White.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, Lindsay.
Thanks for having
me. We're really glad to have you.
Yeah, really.
Truly.
Again, this is another interview where I'm like, we can quit after this one.
Aww. Yeah. That's a nice one.
That's really
she said
nice.
It after we interviewed Julie Bryan Wilson, so that's pretty...
My favorite.
I know, she's your favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it.
Now, you're from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Were you born in Oklahoma?
Yes, I was born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
How was that like? Did you have a mall there?
Of course. Well, I grew up in Bixby, Oklahoma, which is like 20 minutes outside of Tulsa, so it was a small town. But, you know, I drove to the city, went to the mall. But, I mean, there was... I'm glad I grew up there because I think I learned to have an appreciation for culture in a different way than other people who maybe grew up in a big city.
Was it hot?
It was pretty hot, very humid, and very cold in the winter.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Classic.
I've only ever known about three people from Oklahoma.
Sorry, can you help me with the geography here?
It touches Texas.
It's above Texas. It's shaped like a pan. It's below Kansas. It's mm-hmm. next to Missouri, next to Arkansas.
Is it considered the South? Yeah, right?
No,
it's the Midwest.
It's the Midwest.
But if you're
Southern Midwest.
Yeah, if you're, you know, if you live closer to Louisiana, then you might call it the South.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm from Northeast. Tulsa's in Northeastern Oklahoma, so it's Midwest.
Okay. Is there an accent of Oklahoma? And do you have it?
For sure. But I don't have it because my dad is from New Jersey and my mom's from California. So for some reason, I never picked up an accent from...
Were you homeschooled?
Definitely not. I went to Bixby Public Schools K through 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. Brutal.
What's the state bird of Oklahoma?
Scissor tail flycatcher.
What?
Wow. You know it? That's so a great. Really good... Oh, it's on Scissor the tail. Quarter. It's on the Oklahoma quarter. Yeah. It's a beautiful bird.
Mistletoe is the state flower.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who are some famous people from Oklahoma? We could do an hour just on Oklahoma. God.
Certainly can.
Ed Ruscha.
Oh, damn. Oh, wow.
J.J. Cale.
He ended up in Chicago. Don't know that one. Is that a writer?
Singer.
Oh, okay.
A country singer.
Oh, okay. Sure enough.
Now that you ask me, I can't remember things. S.E. Hinton. Who wrote The Outsiders, yeah. Rumblefish, is from Tulsa. That can help you get started.
Yeah, that's good. Those are some good ones. Notable names.
Did you grow up watching the musical Oklahoma? Was that at all a part of your life, your upbringing?
That was part of my life. Not really watching the musical on TV, but we would have to drive out like 2 hours to the middle of nowhere to watch the performance, and we would eat at a buffet with baked beans and brisket on picnic tables with gingham.
Outside performance.
Tablecloth, yeah.
Was that like an every summer kind of tradition?
Yeah, I was going to say like every year.
Luckily not, but enough to not enjoy it.
So it's a real pride. It's a real prideful thing in the state, you think? It sounds like people really embrace that.
Yeah, they do.
Cool.
Do you have any of the numbers memorized that you can perform for us right now?
The song and dance numbers.
Oh,
not
Oklahoma,
just...
where the wind comes sweeping down the plain and the waving wheat, the sure smells sweet when the wind comes up behind the rain.
Oklahoma, every night my honey lamb and I sit alone and talk and watch a hawk making lazy circles in the sky.
Actually, yeah. Woo! My friend's daughter knows the whole song and she's obsessed. She just sent me a soundbite of her.
Oh my God, really?
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
So your work has to do with comedy. You also teach a class at SFAI where you're the head of the photography department. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that was kind of like two statements.
You teach a class on art and comedy.
Truth.
So what up with that?
How do you, like, I assume you get asked a lot about, like, oh, art and comedy. Like, how do you incorporate? What's their relationship? That kind of thing.
I guess. I mean, I think it's the same as any other subject matter. So
I don't know. I feel like they're like, oh, why do you put comedy in your art?
Well, if
and yeah, then it's course. Like, well, I just for any for me, I'm just like, I don't know if I really have a choice.
It's just what you're thinking about.
I mean, that's my answer, too. I mean, that's kind of always where I've come from when I was in undergrad to graduate school. But I think like the class that I teach at SFAI, that's called Laughing Matters, came out of being in undergrad and grad school and being asked that question over and over again, and also not getting real feedback on the artwork that I was making and not being shown the artist that maybe would have helped like prepare me, or I don't know, I would be able to utilize like my tool set better as a artist if I like had more references, or even, you know, it was. And so the classes come out of that, and it's interesting because then the students can dig in and actually like have real dialogues about what humor is. And also it's like, it kind of becomes like a weird club of sorts too, because there's not a lot of people that are interested in humor. And so there, I don't know, it becomes like a real tight-knit community. It's super fun in that way.
Of the art and comedy community.
Of the art and comedy community. But I find that outside of the classroom, like other peers that use humor in the work, like you, you know, like I feel like I have special relationships with other artists who are interested in humor.
Do you think in another life you could have just been a straight up comedian?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm still kind of interested in that.
Have you tried doing any kind of stand up or anything like that?
I do stand up in class. It's part of one of the projects that they have to do is 5 minutes of stand up.
Wow.
And I do it too, and I MC it, and it's really fun. But I haven't really, I don't know, I haven't like tried to go into some open mic night or something, but mm-hmm. I am sort of interested in it, and I'm interested in comedy writing. I might take a comedy writing class this fall. Mm-hmm.
Where?
I don't know yet. You and I were talking about it a little while.
I want to do it with you.
I'm not going to be around in the Bay in the fall.
You're going to be in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You take a sabbatical kind of thing?
You could do it at UCB.
I heard that isn't where you should take comedy writing class anymore.
Oh, damn.
At least in New York. That's maybe in some LA.
Shade right there.
I mean,
a lot of the New York UCB people listen to the show, so.
It wasn't directly for me, but a friend of a friend told me that.
Do you get stage fright?
Yeah, I get nervous. Not really like in front of students. I can be goofy. But I don't know. It's the same as like when you give an artist talk. Like I always get nervous. It's different when it's like more about yourself,
yeah,
mm-hmm. than like talking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I did just do. I actually just went to a humor and art symposium
in Lithuania.
Yeah.
In Vilnius?
No, it was in Nida.
That's where like the art colony residency place.
Yeah, they hosted it, and so. That I did more of a performance there because nobody knew who I was.
How was it?
It was great. I mean, it was fun to do and just kind of get out of my comfort zone and be really weird because nobody could read like what if something was like if it was on purpose or not, and I kind of used that to my advantage.
Was it a pure pleasure and a joy, or was there any anxiety?
There's always anxiety.
But not, like, to an extent of feeling, like, torture and hell.
Kate's describing her own experience.
Yeah, I can tell. Not to that degree. That sounds intense.
How do you cope with your anxiety in those moments? Got any tips for anyone listening?
I sweat.
Oh, that's great. I love that approach. Like
sweat is the way that I deal.
That's a fantastic
approach. I drink water.
Oh, yeah.
And then just let it pour out of you.
Yeah, you can always buy a lot of time with drinking water.
Oh.
I get so afraid. I like the drinking water technique,
just taking your pauses.
I get too afraid to drink water, and then I think I'm going to have one of those Mark Zuckerberg or like Trump things where they can't figure out how to drink anymore. They're like, trying to like blow the water bottle.
That's the thing. You got to use a cup, a glass cup.
Okay, but then I'm like,
what if you drop it? Oh my God, there's so many things. Oh, man. So with the symposium you were at, what was, I was just sort of like, what is a, is it, would, is it a humor symposium? It's arts, art and humor. Is it specific to the art
humor
field?
And absurdity.
Okay.
It was in the art realm.
Mm-hmm.
There were artists from all over the world that came and did performances or gave lectures for like 3 days.
Wow.
Or did workshops.
Were there any kind of like icebreaker moments?
Man,
exercises for the group?
No.
Okay.
What
I'm
about
curious.
That thing where everybody had their head through a piece of fabric?
That was at the end.
Oh, okay.
That was a dog training.
Where everyone was the dog?
Yeah. Earlier in the morning, we were trained to be dogs. And then we had to put our head through this plural garment and then walk to the beach because, you know, that makes sense.
Did you get in the water?
No.
Is it the Baltic Sea?
It is the Baltic Sea.
Did you learn any Lithuanian?
No.
Not one word.
It's so sad. No.
It's a tough language.
I had a phrase book, but then I kind of lost it. And then I didn't usually I at least try to say like hi and thank you.
Yeah.
But no, everyone spoke English. So you're just like, thanks.
Sure enough.
There's a great documentary that gives you a rough outline of the history of Lithuania and sports. It's called The Other Dream Team, about the
Basketball team.
Yeah, the basketball team. It's really good.
I read somewhere, or you said somewhere, that you don't think people have a sense of humor. And I found that, like seriously surprising. Or, because I just, I find humor like so, it's just surprising for me personally, I guess. And I wanted to just have you talk a little bit about that. I like, maybe in like the 4 minute video you did for Sika. And so I was just curious about that, because I know for me, like, humor is such an important part of, like, the way I relate to everyone in the world. I mean, without even thinking about it. So it was just sort of like, oh, really? Maybe I'm not that serious.
It was probably in a certain kind of context of people not having a sense of humor. But I do find...
Maybe, like, in the stuffy old museum context?
Yeah, for sure.
Or, like, art audiences. Okay.
I think audiences have a hard time finding humor in things because they're often asking you why you want to poke fun at something, so that becomes harder. I mean, I think it's more of thinking about comedians are often picked apart because they put themselves out there, mm-hmm. and they say things that others won't say, and then they get everyone to laugh about it. I think it's I don't know, people not having a sense of humor. I don't know. I often find myself laughing about something that other people don't think is funny, or like being the only one that laughs at like something in a lecture
at inappropriate times.
Yeah, or like same.
I'm like that in movies for sure.
Or in class, like a student will say something in a certain way and I'll start laughing, and then they're like, "Why are you laughing at me?" I'm like, "I just think that's great that you said that." But I do think it's harder for people to, I don't know. I don't want to generalize, but I do think like when you break down like different mechanisms of humor, it's harder for people to grapple with than mm-hmm. other things.
I could see, like, especially in the art world, if work has humor, that maybe it's not taken as seriously too for some reason.
For sure.
I mean, like as work in general.
It's not.
Yeah, which I could see being...
I mean,
fucking annoying.
I mean, when you think about like more of the, I don't know, think about like whose work stands out more, or like whose work is more popular in the art world. It's not. There aren't that many people that are funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a reason for that, because it seems like it's an easy way out, or there's, I don't know. But I think being humorous is like takes another level of, I don't know. I think comedians are like some of the smartest people in the world because they are noticing everything that's going on around them. Mm-hmm. And I also think that sort of sensitivity is why you find so many. And the same goes for artists, too. I think there's a lot of overlap between the two of being, because they are like these official noticers of the world, that they just have a harder time processing and sometimes get overwhelmed with anxiety or feeling depressed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're also a member of the Collective Will Brown. You guys had a show where you had Ethereum. You took, like, the money for the show, right? And you bought Ethereum with it. And then the gallery was empty. And then the lights would go crazy. I'll put a link to the episode where I go into extreme, like, excruciating detail about this show. But anyhow, point is, as a result of all that project, there was a grant that was going to be given out with the profits you guys made Ethereum, which is a cryptocurrency. Point is, who got the grant?
Two SFAI students.
Uh-huh. How were the applications?
They were good. I was hoping we'd get more than what we got.
How many to be came honest. In? It was a very simple application process.
It was very,
did you apply?
2,000.
But I didn't see it.
2,000. We were waiting through. We thought there'd be 10,000, but you know.
Okay, well, great. Were they stoked about it? Now, were. Is that just going to go on forever?
It will go on till if we lose the money or not. I don't know.
So you still have money in this?
We still have money
did
in
you,
it.
Is
it
still, have you made a profit?
I'm confused.
Okay.
You can still follow it and download the app.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Etherbrown.com.
Etherbrown.
You can. And you're still taking applications for the next...
How much money did you give out?
Does it just open once a year?
Sorry, we're too crazy.
We gave out two grants for $500 each.
Wow.
And one was to Sophia Pell for a book that she and Cole Solinger put out about Cher Strawberry, who's a punk rocker, awesome skateboarder in Oakland. And we gave another grant away to Mary Waugh Miller, who's a grad student at SFAI, who's making like an oversized chessboard or something like that.
Wow. Okay.
But every time we decide to take out money off of the top, when we're making any sort of, when it seems right, we all have to agree on it, then we put out a call for applications. But right now, we're kind of just floating by. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Right now we're like $300 up or something.
Hey.
So it doesn't.
Oh, wow.
So it's a
good job.
Yeah.
Okay, now Will Brown, the collective, which we just previously mentioned, that's with Jordan Stein and David Kasperzak. Okay, when you guys started that, was there not also a guy named Will Brown?
Who
was
there like is a guy named Will Brown.
Who's an art writer.
Forever confusing.
He's a curator.
Did you know him?
Yes.
Did you name it because of him?
Yes.
Why?
He was running Triple Bass. He was like one of the co-directors at the time. And I lived in the back of Triple Bass illegally. So whenever Dina and Joyce decided they didn't want to run the space anymore, they asked if I wanted to take over the lease. And so I did. And then when me and Jordan and Dave were trying to figure out what we were going to name the space, we thought Will Brown. Because it was a good... We asked Will and he was fine with it. And it, you know, it was kind of like a common name, everyday name, approachable name. It's felt right. But I think he has definitely regretted it since.
Oh, shit. Really?
I think so. He added an A in front of his name. So now he's a singular Will Brown.
Do you think he thought it wasn't going to become what it now is?
I think so.
Which is?
I don't know.
A worldwide phenomenon.
I mean, it's all over the news. You've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Since we were talking about SFAI... I know at the end of each semester, you do this amazing, oh my God. Mm-hmm. You bring out like the 3,100 foot sub for your students, which I love so much, Sandwich.
3,100 feet.
3,200? I have no idea how long it is.
32 feet.
I've only seen it through pictures and I think it's the most amazing tradition and I love it so.
I've seen it in person and I forget how long it is.
Can you see from the end to end, or is it so long you can't see the end of it?
It's incredibly long. It's, you know, what is it, 48 feet?
That's pretty good.
Really?
With that's the, fucking long.
I add the gluten-free part. I make it at home and add to it when I, you know, got to take care of everyone.
Oh, yeah, for
it
sure.
It has for every dietary restriction is accommodated.
Always. I, you know, real advocate of everyone eating food and snacks. But, yeah, that's one of my greatest contributions, I think, to SFAI.
It's a good one.
Once a year, we gather in the meadow and eat a big sandwich together.
Is that for like all students or?
It's for all students.
That's so great. Yeah.
And then we have a DJ that DJs the sandwich every year.
My teaching question was going to be teaching. How do you do it? You're probably the everyone's favorite.
That's nice.
So how do you achieve that and well, yet still maintain the iron grip of control?
I mean, that's what I'm after, the iron grip of control.
Because it's hard to be likable and also, like, you know,
I pay them all serious. Off, you know. That's why we have no budget in the photo department.
You can do that.
Big money. I don't know. I mean, I like teaching a lot. That probably helps.
You also, like, seem to, like, genuinely care about, like, the well-being and development of your students.
For sure, for sure.
That's probably a big part of it.
That's definitely a huge part of it. I mean, we're both learning from each other, and it's, I don't know, it's really fun, and especially, you know, when I get to teach, like, the comedy class and things like that, too, because it's directly related to the things I'm doing in my own art practice. But, yeah, I don't know, like, just try to be a good listener and like have enough room to like be open to things changing based on like how things unfold in a classroom. I kind of tailor things to different groups of students. But I'm also really patient. I think that helps. And I don't know. I think I have pretty laid back, but also like I'm laid back, but also like extremely organized. You can't be late to my class.
How do you? How do you? Yeah. How?
I just
when you say you can't be late to your class, like yeah, what like happens what if happens? Someone's late?
Yeah,
are they kicked out until they come on time, or what?
Do you lock the door?
I don't do things like that.
Because I always thought you couldn't do that. Because I heard a story about Karen Finley getting locked out of like Tony Labatt or somebody's class, and her just like pounding on the door continuously until they let her in.
I mean, that sounds like a typical SFAI story, but I don't know. I talk a lot about respect.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do it with a complete severe face?
Well, I think like when you explain the humanity of a situation, and then usually people are like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. That does stink.
Yeah.
I shouldn't walk in 15 minutes late with a full breakfast.
The full breakfast. Yes.
And I'm like, if you do that, just don't even come in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Lindsay, I wanted to ask if you had any teachers as a student whose, I don't know, not ideas, but like maybe methods you sort of carry through in your classes or that you think about when you're teaching or?
There's quite a few teachers, even just like simple things. I think like one of the first times I learned that humor was okay was I had to take, when I was a freshman in college, I had to take like all of the required classes and I hated it. I hated taking beginning drawing and like we would sculpt and draw the same woman like,
oh my God,
all year.
Oh yeah.
I felt like, I don't know, I really knew her body.
It was so weird.
She's got that dimple there. And
kind of. We had to mold this, realistic figure out of clay. And I just couldn't do it. And I also was not interested in it. And at the end, the teacher's like, oh, you need to figure out what to do with the head. And I wasn't trying to be disrespectful or anything. I just poked two eyes in the head. And
like with like that poking, like, that clay needle.
It was like with the back of a paintbrush.
Okay. It's pretty good.
And the teacher's name was Frank Irby. And he walked up and he started laughing. And he was like, don't lose your humor. It's really important.
Oh, I love that.
Because someone else would have been like, do it again.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You're not taking this serious enough.
Yeah. He was like the first lesson in realizing that humor was important.
Cool.
Ann Johnson, another teacher I had, just like knew how to teach theory. Larry Sultan, huge influence on me in grad school at CCA. Mostly because his classes were about experiences. So you would go and do things that weren't necessarily related to what the class was about. And I thought that that was, I don't know, really gave me an understanding of what I actually was doing in my studio, or like talking to a private investigator or going to the horse races or, you know, like just getting to know things outside. You also get like when you're in the art world or when you're in art school, you have like very specific experiences over and over and over again. So if someone like takes you out of that and then you're with the same peers, like you really get to know one another more.
Okay. What is the future of comedy?
What is the future of will you answer this too?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, okay.
You first.
That's a tough question.
You first.
I feel like, okay, well, I think I sent you a thing. Remember Joe Firestone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I just feel like she's on the cutting edge.
Is this a stand-up comedian?
Uh-huh, she does stand-up. But she did a stand-up set once where it was just like she got in front of an audience and it was just like, okay, we're going to give some shout-outs. And she just did 10 minutes where they were giving shout-outs. She's like, shout-out a name and we'll give them a shout-out.
I love that. I fucking love that.
And she, yeah, or like Kate Berlant. I went and saw her recently and she did like, she was doing the thing where like, you know how like... psychics will do with the audience. They'll be like, I'm getting a sense of like someone over here has a March birthday and like that kind of shit. And I feel like, I don't know, like crowd work has always been around forever, but I just feel like there's something a little twisty, weirdy, where maybe they have no material whatsoever or even a plan or anything.
God, that's genius.
Yeah. I feel like more of like the alternative comedy structure seems to be more popular. I think, or maybe it's just what I'm feeling right now. Like, I like the Weirdo Night and the people that Dynasty Handbag host.
Where it's like cut the borderline.
What's the Weirdo Night?
She has a comedy night. Go ahead.
Oh, she has a comedy night in LA that's like once a month. Do you know where it's at again?
Zebulon.
Yeah, at Zebulon. And hosts like all kinds of people doing... you know, sometimes it'll be like more almost like performance art.
Yeah, like performance art.
There's a
musical things, weird, silent, creepy things, and hiding.
This artist that's in the Whitney Biennial right now, Morgan Basisis. I don't know if I say his last name right. I really like him. He does cabaret nights.
Oh, wow.
He's so good. It's just, I don't know. It feels like some of the stand up is more on the edge of like being performance art, and I appreciate that. I also like Maria Bamford's always like the person that I
God that's Kate's
bless,
fave.
God bless her.
I know, she's so good, so good.
I'm gonna cry.
And I think people, it feels like people are a little tired of like dude standing on the stage, just I don't know. Like, only talking about, like, observational things. It seems like it might be a little tired right now.
Mm-hmm. I found are you working on a book?
I am. Controlled Miracles.
Controlled Miracles.
Yeah.
You and this word miracle.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's something.
Yeah, it's hopefully coming out in the spring on JNL. And I'm working on, I just made the book dummy and I'm the final edit is close.
Oh, damn. Cool.
That's awesome.
And it's, pictures of magicians performing on stage between the 30s and the 70s. And there, it's from an archive in Michigan, the American Museum of Magic.
Nice.
And specifically this one photographer, Irving Desfor, I went and scanned with a wonderful SFAI student, Victoria Ordway, shout out.
Hell yeah.
and scanned over 800 negatives. And then I've just been working through that. And I've been painting on them and like making other photos and playing with crops and different things. And I'm excited about it.
That's awesome. I'm super excited too.
Can you do any magic?
No.
We always like to ask our interviewees at the end of an interview if there's anything else you would like listeners to know.
Two things. One, you should go see Rotoscope at City Hall, in the lower level of City Hall. It's a great show of children's drawings and children's art forgeries from the Rhoda Kellogg Collection. It's up through March of 2020, which is insane, but wonderful. Really excited about that show. Jordan Stein and myself put it together with Brian Ballot. And it's a real feel good if you feel sad. I went there when I was feeling kind of sad, and actually made me feel better. Not to like, you know, it just does. And then second thing is that people should, be kind. Feels like there's a lot of discussions in the air, especially in the Bay Area and in the world, but thinking about our art community and being understanding of one another and, I don't know, taking time to listen and not just lob commentary without thinking about it. I think it's important.
Can we just give one quick shout out?
Oh, yeah. You want to give a shout out?
I want to give a shout out to one of Lindsay's co-conspirators, Ron Lynch.
Oh,
comedian.
Is he gonna hear the show?
No, but I just want
to. Is he gonna listen to the show?
Maybe.
Lindsay, will you send him the show?
Sure. I have your photo of him at my desk, and I look at it every day, and it does make me smile.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Ron Lynch for sure. He's the best.
He's cool.
Love you, Ron.
Love you, Ron. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Oh yes, thank you. And as always, congratulations.